This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.
Now for the Money is a series of programmes which features organisations created and run exclusively by volunteers. Today we will visit and talk to the volunteers of Autonomous Centre, Somra Spree.
Politics needs votes. Politics needs your mind. Politics needs human beings. Politics needs lies. That's why, my friend, it's an evidence. Politics is violence. Why, my friend, it's an evidence. Politics is violence. Drugs, politics use bombs. Politics need torpedoes, politics needs blood. That's why, my friend, it's an evidence. Politics is violence. Why, my friend, it's an evidence. Politics is violence. Politics need force,
force.
Politics need cries. Politics need ignorance.
Ignorance.
Politics need lies.
Hi, my name is Grania and I'm one of the volunteers and one of the workers in Somra Spree. Somra Spree is an autonomous social centre. It's the only one of its kind based in Dublin. It's a space in Dublin that's owned and run by the people who want to contribute to it and who want to partake in it. It's very much a community centre for activists of generally left-wing political leanings and libertarian leanings. It's run on anarchist principles. It's about horizontal organising, it's anti-capitalist. And what we want to do is provide a space for activists and for groups that are out there trying to change the world to come together, to host their meetings, to let them meet one another, and also a social space for people in Dublin to come and to meet and to talk and to debate and to discuss.
If you have to give us examples of the kind of things that take place in Somra Spree.
Well, if you walk in on a Monday night, the first thing that you might meet is people going upstairs for the Spanish classes that are happening on Mondays. There's two classes, beginners and intermediate, both run by volunteers, and it's on a donation basis, so you can contribute whatever you can afford. Their idea is that people share skills and share ideas and things like that. If you go into the next room beside the Spanish classes, you'll see a meeting from the Unlock Nama group, who are an activist group based at unlocking publicly owned space within Ireland. And they've had a successful occupation of a Nama-owned building in January of this year, where they set up a university in it for one day. And they're continuing their work on that, and they meet in Somra Spree. If you walk to go down the stairs, you'll pass by our free shop, which is a space where people can bring things of good quality and that are clean that they don't want anymore, and they can leave them there for somebody else who might have a use for them. In the same way, anybody who wants to anything in the space, be in the free shop, clothes, kitchen utensils, whatever might have been left there, can take them and put them to a good use without having to ask anyone for it. It's a space to share things. If you go on down the stairs and into the main space, you'll see the cinema room to the right, and that's where every Friday, or most Fridays, there's screenings of just different films of interest, sometimes political, sometimes just of personal interest to the organisers, and people can come and make a donation and watch a film and meet a few new people. In the main space itself, we've got computers with internet access for people to come and use. And at the back of the main hall, there is the vegan kitchen. The vegan kitchen provide a vegan meal on a Tuesday and a Wednesday evening. The suggested donation is €5 to €7. And it's a huge success. On a Wednesday night, if you walk into Shomersbury, it's absolutely buzzing. It's crammed full of people. The food is great. There's a real sense of community. It's fantastic. And if you go out past the vegan kitchen into the back garden, you'll find our bike workshop. We're a collective of people, help people to learn about how to fix their own bike, and then they can pass those skills on. They also recycle bikes that are abandoned within the community and build these amazing high bikes, which you can see about the place as well.
And how all that can be organized and maintained in a voluntary basis? Does it run smoothly?
It's kind of always chipping along, I suppose, is one way I'd put it. It's never totally secure. If you have a project that's based in a building with running costs of nearly 3,000 a month and you have no fixed income and no fixed funding, you're never going to be totally secure. But we are always completely autonomous. And that's the really fantastic thing about the centre, is you can look around, and though we've gone from financial crisis to financial crisis, it's still standing and it's kept going by the sheer determination and will and passion of the people that are involved in it. And that's what's really inspiring about it. And it has changed over the years. Sometimes there's more people involved, sometimes there's less people involved. But people consistently donate to the project, groups consistently use it for fundraisers, and we've managed to keep it going to date.
What's the contribution of Shomersbury to the community of Dublin in general? Or I don't know if you have any contact with the community around the area where the centre is, or is it just more spread?
We actually had a really big discussion about this when we moved buildings about 3 years ago or so, when we were thinking about where we were going to locate the next Shomersbury, what our role should be in a community, and what role could we play in a geographical community. And I suppose the conclusion that we came to would be that we would absolutely love to play a firm place in a geographical community that we are placed within. We'd love to have a really strong connections with our neighbours and have them already involved. However, we did feel that we were kind of at the same time not really able to build those relationships quite yet. We were still quite a young centre with a lot of things to work out. Even just physically, the building was in quite a poor state when we moved into it. It wasn't necessarily that welcoming. We had to do a lot of work on it. And so we did decide that our first priority was to try and actually make it functioning as a space where people could work, political groups could meet, where different things could happen. But that to keep in our minds the idea that we would like to make the place as welcoming to the community as possible, and to try and get community groups involved. I mean, only at our last meeting during the week, it was agreed that Spark, a group that campaigned for the rights of single parents in Ireland and against the cutbacks in the recent budget against lone parents' supports and social welfare, they've now been approved for user group status in Shomersbury, which means that they can meet there. That kind of thing is fantastic, and the more connections we can build with the local community, the better. Absolutely.
If you have to give an image of the volunteers that take part in Shomersbury, and a part of the volunteers, the people that go simply on Shomersbury, would you be able to give us a picture?
It would vary completely. I mean, it's going to vary from the membership of the Worker Solidarity Movement, who have their office upstairs, to the people in the cafe. I mean, I suppose there are certain similarities and things like that. There's definitely more people under the age of 40 than there is over the age of 40. I suppose things like social centres and stuff, they lend themselves quite well to students and people who have more free time. We also have quite a high level of people who aren't originally from Ireland coming in. There's a lot of people, particularly of a European background, that would come into the cafe, and I think that probably draws on the fact that there's a much stronger history of social centres across Europe, that people are more likely to search them out when they come to Dublin and use them as a place to meet people and to make friends and to hang out. But it's very wide ranging, from people without jobs to people working full time, coming from all sorts of backgrounds. Yeah, it varies. We welcome everybody.
Now that you mentioned welcome, could we make it more welcome, more attractive to people? I know the place is full, but do you think that there is some way of making it more attractive to people, that to invite people in?
Yeah, I think definitely so. I mean, I think when you start something like an anarchist social centre, you're always going to be aware that you're starting at a point where most people are not going to know where a social centre is. An awful lot of people are not going to know what anarchism even is. And what you want to do is try and create a space that is as welcoming as you possibly can. At the same time, we started with an industrial building that used to be a printing factory. The printing machines literally just got taken out before we moved in. It's not in great shape, and it takes an awful lot of work to clean it and keep it tidy. And when you don't have staff, that's definitely a challenge. I'd love to see it where it was, I suppose, a bit more painted up and a bit more whatever, a bit more physically more beautiful. The other thing as well is I think you have to build a culture where people are welcomed at the door. Now, I think that does happen at the moment, and we do try and have two people working at all times to make sure that everyone who walks into the space is, you know, approached and welcomed and shown around. But I do know we have shortages of volunteers, and sometimes it's just not possible to have as many people welcoming people there as we would like. So that's definitely something I'd hope we can improve, and that we can get more volunteers involved.
How do you see the future of Chambre-Esprit? Okay, you were saying that it's always there in the tipping point, yeah. But a part of that, can you see the necessity of a place like that, or even more places like that, like in Dublin?
I'd love to say I'd hope to see more places in Dublin. I don't know if... I haven't heard anything about anybody trying to develop any more types, so I wouldn't expect it in the near future. But I think what I really hope to see would happen in Chambre-Esprit is that the membership will grow. About a year or so ago, we decided that we're actually going to bring in a formal membership to give us a better sense of who we are and who is part of the Chambre-Esprit community. Before that, it was that we didn't have any idea of who actually considered themselves involved and who didn't. It was very, very open, and that had its advantages, but it also meant that you didn't necessarily know where you stood in terms of support. And so we are currently trying to sign people up to become members of Chambre-Esprit to help support the project. And it's actually incredibly encouraging to see the number of people out there who do consider themselves a part of Chambre-Esprit and who do want to make it happen. And so hopefully as our list of members grows, that will also allow us to become more financially sustainable. And once we're more financially sustainable, there's no end to what the possibilities we could do. Like, I'd love to see Chambre-Esprit get involved in more activism even outside the centre. I think the politics of space are really important. And if you look at what's happening in Ireland at the moment in terms of, like, even the privatisation of social housing, the risk to people with high mortgages that are in arrears about losing their own homes, the number of empty buildings in the city centre that are owned by the state but that are left empty. I mean, the homeless numbers, the new approaches of the homeless agency, like the privatisation of asylum seekers accommodation, like all of these things are huge issues in Irish society. And Chambre-Esprit, if it had its financial situation more secure, would have more resources and more time to be able to go out and actually address all of these issues. I'd love to see the giant Chambre-Esprit banner that's hanging on the wall actually out there on more marches with more people behind it.
And finally, we were talking about the community. For those involved in Chambre-Esprit, what do you think that they get out of being involved in a group, I don't know how you define it.
Well, I'm trying to remember how long I've been involved now. It's 2012, I think I got involved in about 2005, 2006, 2006 probably. And it is incredibly rewarding. I think a lot of the things that we campaign for and that we fight for and the injustices that we fight against, an awful lot of the time it's very difficult to see the physical results of those struggles. And when you're running a social centre, it's a physical project. You can walk in and you can look around and you can see the people meeting and you can see the activities that are taking place. You can see the amount of groups that are supported by it. And that in itself is very, very rewarding. It also, though, creates a physical community meeting space in Dublin for political activists and for people who are interested. And that's great. There's a space where you know pretty much if you walk in that you're walking into a safe space, safer spaces policy, where people with probably interesting politics and interesting ideas are there and are going to be willing to talk to you. And that's really valuable. It's great to have somewhere where you can go on an evening for a social occasion that isn't a city centre club or bar that's run by, you know, with overpriced beer going to some corporation. It's really nice to actually be able to go and hang out somewhere where you support the whole ethos behind it.
And now it's time to get something to eat. But first we have to find out how it works.
How does it work?
Yeah, just put your ticket in the...
Where did you get the ticket?
Oh, you have to buy a ticket for €7 to get a donation.
From there, we go to the queue and check what is in the menu.
Then what is it in?
Polenta, shepherd's pie, stroganoff, bean stroganoff, figs, and dressing.
All right, thanks a lot.
Nice, tasty, vegetarian dishes. And after cleaning my plate and cutlery, it's time to visit the DIY bike workshop, where Jonas will explain us how it works. What's going on here?
What's going on here? So it's every Tuesday and Wednesday, and it's a bicycle repair and recycling center.
Okay.
So it's a place where used parts come, recycled parts, and it's a place where people come to build bicycles and to fix them.
There are plenty of spares in here. You can bring your own bike and repair it, or there is people here that they just give you a hand, like repairing it.
So the idea is you do all the work yourself. There are mechanics who help you, who teach you. You can bring your own bicycle and repair, and that's what majority of people do, and use parts or just use the tools. And then some people come and build bicycles from pieces. And it works because people donate either time or money when they come. So they either donate time helping out in the workshop, or they donate some cash.
You have to know what you are doing here to the your time.
I'm here because a friend of me took his bike here. Mm-hmm. Now he's leaving because he took the bike from Vermont. I would like to take the bike as well from him and give it
and
some
put your name.
Yeah. Does that work?
How does that work?
Yeah.
Doesn't work that well. The idea is it's a community bike. So you come in and you take a bicycle for donation or time and money. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly we try to use it for people who are building bicycles from scratch, so they can take one of the shop ones. So while they're building it, because obviously they need a bicycle, but also you're building out recycled parts, it can take a long time.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's very easy and it goes like new parts, and sometimes, you know.
How are you?
So around 7:30 that you won't be able to move. Yeah. The workshop usually goes till like 10:30, 11 at night. Are you here for the workshop?
First time, yeah. Here.
Okay.
I've got my bike with me. And
Jonah.
Yes.
John.
Nice to meet you.
What's the story with your bike?
The gears are fucked. Yeah, you won't change it all there.
You've done gears before?
Have I done what?
Gears.
No. Okay. I don't know. I'm useless and anything to do with the bike. That's fucked there.
Yes. So what are you going to start by doing? We're going to... Like, you have no tension on your cable, so when you do this, nothing happens. Take that screw off, pull all of the cable out,
okay,
all the way up and through, save these. These look okay.
Okay.
And you just start, you just cut that off there.
Bill, thanks very much.
Of course. You build them from scratch?
I was here a while ago. I remember trying to bang out the bottom bracket and we ended up with the angle grinder.
Yeah.
I'm pretty frustrated, so I kind of stayed away for a couple of weeks. So I brought in my own bike, which needs to be maintained.
I got to talk to those availing of the service of the workshop at the same time that I could hold a sketchy conversation with Jonas on how all works while he was helping as many people as he could on the way.
Something like this.
How did you get to decide to start doing your own bike rather than bring it to a mechanic?
Well, I found out about here just a few weeks ago. I saw someone posted it about vegan meals and stuff. So I came along to check that out, and then I found out about the bike workshop. And then when my bike broke down just there the other day, I thought, I'll bring it in here and just see how I get on. And then, I'm happy to be to learn about this. And if I can repair it myself, it's better.
I think that you have to.
Yeah, just snip it. And then if I'm not able to fix it, then I can bring it somewhere else. But sometimes... You're waiting a couple of days just to get your bike repaired, so if I can do it myself or get some help here, I'm happier.
Can I borrow that for a second?
It just depends what.
That's very quick. I'm just trying to mop it up. I don't think it fits with this.
This has to come off. The other part though. You tried both sides?
I've tried both sides, yeah.
Sometimes you can do it like this. You just have to hold that on when it comes off. And that goes on.
Yeah, that's it now.
Doesn't come out?
Doesn't seem to want to come out, no.
Wait
a second. Got it.
I'm wondering, I'm going to try and bring my handlebars up a bit, or back towards me. They were kind of... I left them somewhere and they moved them around. And
you want to bring these up?
Yeah, just so that they're more towards me. So.
These ones?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just
that's just
I want to change all this. Nice.
There's lots of
these handlebars, you see, I want those on this. But it's so much more. Yeah, like in Amsterdam. Great. More for messing around. Old bike, this. I have it a long time.
Hello.
I'm looking for a tire.
Have you ever repaired a bike before?
No. I mean, I brought it here yesterday. I have it 11 years and it was falling apart. So, did the wheels, did the... What did I do? Not much. The pedals were broken. I put new pedals on. Nothing major, to be honest. I don't know how the gears are. I need to check. Take it outside and check how good they're working. Put some oil on.
How did you decide to start doing it yourself rather than...
Yeah, I felt bad for it. I am emotionally attached. And it needed some love. Look at the pedals.
So, and then it just makes you gears. And you know what you're pulling out.
I need to get this off. We got it.
Should I cut it, like, to get it out of here? Do I need to cut it?
Yeah, you're going to have to replace this piece.
So this whole piece.
There's some back. Save all the bits off of it. Try to save all the connectors, everything.
Yeah.
And then just put another cable on. We'll straighten them back this in.
Right there?
They're just right in there, yeah.
Okay, cool. So I just snip it?
You can cut this, just make sure you don't want to lose anything, because like, it's got lots of sort of individual custom pieces for it. So you just lay them out as you take them apart, you know?
Yeah. Thanks.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
I think it's okay. I don't know if these fell off mine. I don't think they did.
Go ride around
and see.
Especially if you haven't been on the bike in a while, you may even, to be honest, you ride around the city.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just sort of cruising. You're not like.
Yeah, no.
You're at some point. You should get handlebars that come back so that you can sit straighter up.
That's what I want. That's exactly what I want. That's for your posture. It's really shit.
Yeah, I sit like.
Yeah.
Straight in the air.
Like I love. Yeah, Amsterdam bike week and sitting back.
So that's a job.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not an enormous job, it's just taking this off, sliding
your
bike
off,
that off. Loosening that bolt, pulling that thing out.
To be honest, I don't know how time consuming it
would be. Yeah, I mean, they'd be here for a especially if you haven't done it before. It's not a bad night, though. It's not really nice sitting up.
No, I can cycle. Yeah. I'm cycling home on this tonight, so.
Yeah.
I'm going to have some food.
Get everything else working and take it for a ride.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Is that like a flower pump or something?
Yeah.
Just hold it there.
I see.
Okay. I found the bike in the canal.
You said that you found the bike in the canal?
In the canal, yeah.
It looked like you rescued it from the canal.
Yeah. I hooked it
out
with the camera.
It looks pretty.
It's good. It's a nice
Probably somebody got it stolen and then they just dump it in the canal.
That's what it looks like.
Me too.
Yeah. It's in pretty good condition.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Cold water effect.
Yeah. Cold water effect. What? It keeps the bike...
Keeps the bike frozen. Just like
you see bikes around time much worse condition than this one. To have been in the canal...
Tire was off the rim, and the tube was all tangled up in the wheel.
Uh-huh.
So what I think happened is... they were right, or they were trying to fix it or something, and they stole it and then
got fed up with it
and just dealt with it,
the canal.
Something like that.
Is your experience that more or less anybody can prepare his own bike?
No.
No.
No. You have to be patient.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We definitely had some people who did not succeed. It's maybe 1 in 100, but it's very easy to when you learn it or something.
Yeah, but it's a quite fiddly job then.
It's fiddly, exactly. Yeah, it's very fiddly. You have to. But yeah, I mean, people who come here, if they have energy and they want to learn, it's very easy for them. if you come here and you just want it to be easy, you should buy a new bicycle. You know, like, rusty bicycles are not easy, but
okay.
They're good, they work, you know, but they're not.
Like, it's a work, like a kind of a passion thing that you have.
It's part of, yeah, it's your transportation. You have to do a little bit of work.
How did you get engaged in this, in bike consultancy?
Yeah, I came here to fix my bicycle.
How long have you been going the repair shop?
2 years, consistently every week.
How many people do you get every week here?
On a really busy night, you'll see 30 or 40 people come in. On a slow night, you'll see 5 or 10.
2 years, you're talking.
It is, yeah.
Good few hundred people.
Absolutely, yeah. No, we don't keep track, but the amount of bicycles that are recycled and put out on the street is a few a week, you know, that come out.
I don't know if I'm doing this right. You notice much of the difference there.
What am I doing here, Jonah?
One of these guys goes right in there. I just loosen it a little bit and then just turn it.
I'm just taking this off, yeah?
No, I'm just loosening it. Okay, progress. Thank you.
You have a working gear.
Yeah.
What? Half an hour job?
Yeah.
Not bad.
Nearly an hour.
I am impressed. I wouldn't have managed.
You can contact Sombra Spree, sending them an email, sombraspree@gmail.com. Their phone number is 01872867 0. But to tell you the truth, my experience is that the best chance that you have to get in contact with them is visiting the center, and that is at 10 Belvedere Court, Dublin 1, or their webpage, sombraspree.org. And this was all for this week. Next week, we will be back with a new program of No for the Money, featuring a new volunteer-led and run organization.
This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.